Well, this week we're going to, as a congregation, do something that we've never done before. We're going to create space in our lives this week ahead to allow the Lord to come in and break through. You've heard me talk about it last week. Many of you received the letter via email about this week of preparation that sets us up to enter into the season of Lent with open hearts to come and to receive from the Lord. If you're like me, often the week of Lent or the season of Lent comes 1 or 2 weeks in, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. We're supposed to be doing something now, and I jump in then. But I sense the Lord, as I shared with you all last week, calling us to be very intentional as we come into this time together. And really, it comes from the words that the prophet Hosea wrote. You heard him read a moment ago. He wrote, "For it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord." Friends, I believe that now more than ever, as a body of Christ here at St. Andrews, it is time for us to come and seek the Lord, to bring our hearts to Him, to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, where do you want to break in? What do you want to do in me and through me? How do you want your kingdom extended by the way in which we live our lives here?" Let me set the context of the passage that was read in Hosea chapter 10. God was writing, or Hosea was writing to God's people who had once again found themselves in a very precarious place. And I think it's a place that we often find ourselves in day after day. And here's where they were. Instead of living lives set apart, holy unto the Lord, walking and growing in holiness, they had hardened their hearts against the Lord because they had found themselves loving more the idols and the gods of the culture than the Lord Himself. And so in response, here's what we read in Hosea chapter 10, verse 13. "You have plowed iniquity, you have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors." Do you know what he's saying to us there in that verse? He's saying this: when you and I pursue self-reliant, self-sufficient, self-focused lives, the fruit that we bear will not be life-giving to us, nor will it be to anyone else. In a sense, he's saying, you're going to reap what you sow. And that's exactly what they did. They lived, they plowed iniquity. Their lives were not for the glory of God and lives of holiness. And so what they reaped was injustice. You see, I think God's calling us and getting our attention these days. Because I think far too many of us can live lives in that way. We may not articulate it like that. But I can assure you that when we live self-reliant, self-sufficient, self-centered lives, that's exactly what happens. And that's the tendency for so many of us today. And so what we're doing is, in this season of Lent, it's all about preparing for Easter, right? It's the 40 days that we come with a growing anticipation of the resurrection. And part of what we do as people who enter into this liturgical rhythm of the seasons of the church calendar is we use this time in a very intentional way that the Lord would search our hearts. It's a time of self-examination. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of repentance. It's a time for many of fasting, letting go of something that you're used to so that you can feast on the Lord Himself. And it's a time to turn our focus in a more intentional way than we typically do to set our eyes on the beauty of the cross. As I mentioned, this year in particular, I sense the Lord calling us to get ready. And when we sense the Lord calling us to get ready, y'all, He's going to do something. I know that the Lord is about to do something among us. I don't know what it is, but I've got to lead us in obedience because I sense the Lord calling us to a greater sense of holiness because He longs to work in us and through us in significant ways in this community. And so He's calling us to get ready. And here's why, I think. Because so many of our lives, we live complacent. So many of us live complacent lives. Many of us are walking through life, and all of a sudden, we find ourselves stuck in a rut. Can you relate to that this morning? Just going and you're just stuck in a rut. I mean, maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe in your marriage, you've been married for many years, and you're just kind of going through the same routine week after week. and you want more for it, but you don't know how to get it. You don't know how to get out of that rut, right? Or maybe as a family, you see you're just kind of in this pattern of doing life, but you're longing for more. But you feel stuck and you don't know how to get out. I think for a lot of us, whether it's those two examples or a host of others, there's a longing that we have for more, but we don't know how to reach out to it. We don't know how to get there because we're stuck. Others of us here in this room are going through our daily routines just fine. And you would say that you're perfectly content, but spiritually you're stagnant, right? If that's you, then listen, because the Lord wants to take us away from those places. And for a lot of us, frankly, we can fall into that trap of coming into church week after week, and we walk out of the doors virtually unchanged. That's why, friends, I believe the Lord is calling us to get ready. I believe that's why the Lord is saying, for it is now the time to seek the Lord. It's a call to come back. It's a call to come back to our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's calling us to. And so what we find in this passage, we're going to just focus on Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, just one verse. He gives us three calls to action and two promises, okay? Here's the first call to action. He writes this, sow for yourselves righteousness. Okay, sow for yourselves righteousness. What he's doing is he's using this agricultural metaphor of sowing seeds, right? When seeds are planted, a crop comes up, right? And so he's saying, sow for yourself seeds of righteousness. Now, what is this righteousness? For some today, it has a negative connotation because when you think of righteousness, you think of those self-righteous Christians, right? Many on the outside looking into the church would say we're a bunch of self-righteous people. That's not what Hosea is talking about. This righteousness that I believe he's speaking about here is this. It's about caring about what God cares about. Okay? Caring about what God cares about. In other words, what I think he's saying is this, that the actions of our lives should reflect the things that God cares about. Right? Think about it this way. You and I need to be thinking about what the actions of our lives are actually producing. Do you ever step back and think about the actions of your lives? He wants us deeply to care about what he cares about and then act on that. Now, for those of you who were here last Sunday afternoon, we had a town hall meeting to talk about what we're going to do with Wilson School now closing. How do we enter into this community? What does that look like? And in a sense, what we were doing as we spent time in prayer, as we spent time sharing ideas, was this. We were thinking about what does God care about in this community? What does God want us to be about? And here's what I think it is. Because he cares about the community around us, he cares that we're located in a place where there's still a racial divide. He cares about that. He cares about our neighbors who are marginalized. God cares about the social injustices that are taking place around us every day. He cares about that. And so what we do is this, we respond. And if we begin to care what he cares about, guess what? We're going to be entering into the neighborhoods around us with tangible acts of love and service to the people around us. That's an example, I believe, of what it means to sow seeds of righteousness. And when we do, here comes the first promise. We will reap a harvest of steadfast love. Now, here's what that means. Not only do we experience the steadfast love of the Lord, this incredible love that overwhelms us of his mercy and grace, not only do we experience that in greater and greater and greater ways, here's what I think happens to our culture and the community around us. That same love will begin to penetrate in the lives of the men and women around us, and the culture will begin to flourish. That's what it looks like to begin to sow seeds of righteousness that we're actually tangibly entering into the work of the Lord to care about what he cares about, and his love is shown in us and through us, and the culture around us begins to flourish. That's the call of us, friends. So let me give you some tangible ways we see it done. Look, if we walk in mercy, then we're going to begin to see the fruit of mercy around us, right? If we walk in loving our neighbors, if we walk in loving our enemy, we're going to begin to see the fruit of love take place, and we're going to begin to see reconciliation take place where there's been brokenness in our culture. You see the fruit of righteousness happening because we're entering into the very work of the Lord in our midst. If we walk in peace, we're going to experience the fruit of peace. If we take care of the marginalized among us, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be cared for. Their lives are going to become whole, and they're going to begin to flourish. Are you getting a picture of that? When he says, what do our lives, what should they be about? It's about sowing seeds of righteousness so that not only do we flourish, but the culture around us flourishes all the more. That's the first call to action and the first promise. The second call to action is this, and this is a lot more difficult. He says, break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. Do you know what fallow ground is? It's soil that's been uncultivated, soil that's been unplowed, unprepared. It's, in a sense, soil that's been forgotten. And if you try to sow seeds on that soil, they're just going to sit on top and die, right? And if you've ever seen lands like that, a crop, or just lands that are just left untouched, it's dry, it's cracked, it's filled with weeds and briars and thorns. It's worthless. What Hosea is telling God's people in that time is this. This is what your heart looks like. This is what your life looks like. Fallow ground that's hard, that's rocky, that's useless. I wonder if you can identify with that this morning. I love how A.W. Tozer expounded on this part of the verse. Here's how he described it. The fallow field is smug, contented, protected from the shock of the plow. Safe and undisturbed, it sprawls lazily in the sunshine, the picture of sleepy contentment, but it's paying a terrible price for its tranquility. Never does it feel the motions of mounting life, nor see the wonders of bursting seed, nor the beauty of ripening grain. Fruit it can never know, because it's afraid of the plow. In direct opposite to this, the cultivated field has yielded itself to the adventure of living. The protecting fence has opened to admit the plow. Peace has been shattered by the shouting farmer and the rattle of machinery. The field has felt the travail of change. It's been upset, turned over, bruised, and broken. And then I will add, so it can flourish. Do you see that? Friends, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ longs to do in your heart and in mine. He wants to come in and disrupt your life so that you will begin to bear fruit. You see that? This agricultural metaphor is a picture, as I've mentioned, it's our own lives. And here's the option, right? We've got a choice in this, don't we? We can either choose to live a safe and undisturbed life, or we can choose to live a disrupted and fruitful life. The choice is yours, isn't it? The choice is mine. You can choose, I'm going to say it again, you can choose to live a safe and undisturbed life, or you can choose to live a disrupted and fruitful life. I will tell you this, a safe and undisturbed life will result in a hard heart. They will become harder and harder and harder, and there will be no fruit whatsoever. Here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to join me in a journey of a life where God will come and disrupt us by His gracious hand. Right? That God in His mercy will come upon us and disrupt our life with His gracious hands so that our life will bear fruit that transforms not only our lives, but the lives of the men and women that we pass walking and driving and working with every day. This is what the Lord is calling us to, friends. God did not create you and me to live safe and undisturbed lives. But I fear there are far too many sitting in the pews that are. And I believe that's why God is calling us to this week of preparation. to say, God, I'm going to come and I'm going to bring my heart before you. All those hard places where there are thorns and briars and weeds. And I want you to till it. I want you to come in and disrupt it. And I know what I'm asking of you, and it's the same thing God's asking of me. It isn't easy. And if you're like me, I often want to run from the plow. Because think about what the ground feels when it's broken up. It's painful, isn't it? Have you ever seen something like that happen? I've been on a tractor. I grew up in Houston, so I wasn't around many farms. But I have been to some, and I've ridden on a tractor that was plowing a field. And you watch it till up that dirt, and it round and round, and it cuts in, and it breaks up that fallow ground. Why? So that you can plant good seed and watch it begin to grow. I acknowledge this, that there's a lot of fear when we put ourselves open to the Lord to say, come, break in. But I can guarantee you what he will do in his mercy and grace. He will meet you in that place, and he will open your eyes to the things that you've wanted to run from for years, but he will walk with you as you allow him to do the work he wants to do. You see, when we live content lives, that's one of the greatest tragedies ever. God wants to wake us up, friends. He wants to do business in us, and he wants to use us powerfully. And I can tell you, it's worth the pain. Because I found myself many times running, right? And when God wants to do something, I will run as fast as I can. But guess what? God's arm is so much longer. And he grabs me, okay? And he gets me by the back of my neck. And when he grabs me, I'm startled because it's not an angry God who grabs my neck to bring me back. It's the merciful touch of a loving Father that says, I love you too much to let you keep running down that road. I want to bring you back. I want to do business in your heart. I want to restore you. I want to set you free so that you can shine in my love and grace. That, friends, is our God. Are you going to let him do it? That's the choice we have. And when we think about this whole idea of breaking up that fallow ground, what it really is, friends, for you and me, it's a call to repentance. It's a call to repentance, isn't it? You see, repentance is that doorway through which the kingdom of God breaks into our hearts. And when the kingdom of God breaks in, guess what happens? The captives are set free, right? That's what the kingdom of God does. Let me read this to you. It's beautiful. You've heard it. Luke chapter 4. Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Friends, that's the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ coming among us to break up that fallow ground so that we, the captives, can be set free. Are you going to rend your heart to allow him to do that? And this is where we find the third call to action. And I've kind of already been talking about it, where he says, for it is time to seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It's listening to what David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That can often be a scary prayer, can't it? God, search my heart. I know what's in there, and I don't sometimes want the Lord to see it, but you know he already does. Search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any grievous way in me. Show me, God, where the hardness is. Show me where you want to break through. Maybe for some of you, in this season of Lent, God's going to break into your selfishness. Maybe for some of you, it's going to be your pride. Maybe for others, it's going to be your love of money and material things. Maybe for some, it's going to be an unforgiving spirit. You're holding on to resentment, and instead of it giving you life, it's holding you back. God wants to break through. And I'll tell you one of the places He's breaking through. Because the Lord told me this. If I'm going to lead us as a congregation into this, He's got to be doing it in me first, right? And one of the things that He showed me the other day was my desire for control. I like to be perfectly in control. I want to know everything that's going on. I plan it all out, right? God is saying, if you want to learn to trust me more, let go of control and let me lead your life. That's terrifying, but it's life-giving. And that, friends, is one of the things I do know the Lord's going to be working in me. I don't know what He's going to do in you. I don't know what else He's going to do in me. But we're called to seek the Lord. And in our busy, fast-paced culture, that's one of the most difficult things to do. And I think that's why so many of us as followers of Jesus don't live these radically changed lives. Because we're not stepping back, taking time, making time to seek the Lord. Right? So that's what I'm calling us into this week. As the season of Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, we're going to have a service at noon and 7, so please come to one of those. But on the other nights, Monday night and Tuesday night, Thursday night and Friday night, we're going to meet back here from 7 to 8 o'clock in the evening, just 1 hour. And I'm asking that you would come if you can free your schedule. We're going to come and hear some music just to open our hearts to the Lord, and we're going to be still. And we're going to do exactly what Hosea said, it's time to seek the Lord. And we're going to be still and we're going to be quiet. And we're going to ask Him to search our hearts. You're going to hear Scripture read. I'm going to have a microphone up here that anybody who's here can come forward and share a verse, share a word of the Lord that they may have heard the Lord, how He wants to encourage this body. But it's time that we become intentional to say, Lord, lead us into this time. We long for You to stir us up. We want to hear from You. We want You to break through the barriers that are in our lives. So I want to end with this. And you can walk away with these questions. What if? What if? What if you show up? What if you come and you open your heart to the Lord? What if God actually breaks in to your greatest fear and you are set free? Could you imagine how glorious that would be? What if the Lord chooses to open your eyes to your love of material things and money and finding identity and all of that? What if He takes you down that road to open your eyes and to walk with you down that path? What if He does that to set your heart free? That you would become more enamored by His steadfast love and mercy. What if? Friends, what if God were to break through in that place, that closed door in your heart that you've not let anyone in? What if you were to say, come in, and you saw the love of your Father in heaven leading you through to break through, to set your heart free? What if? What if Jesus truly does break the chains that bind? This is the time for us to rend our hearts to the Lord and see what He wants to do. Amen? Amen. So we pray, come Lord Jesus, I don't know what You're going to do. I don't know what You want to do, but I know it is Your delight when we come and seek Your face. So come, Holy Spirit, shake us up, do a work that will set this church, our hearts, ablaze with a love like never before. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.